Did you know that every year in Colorado, enough children are killed through abortion to fill the Pepsi Center? And that last year alone, Planned Parenthood, the world's largest abortion provider, received $500 million of your tax dollars. Now, Planned Parenthood has hired a powerful law firm to take away your right to protect life. It's time to say enough. Visit personhoodcolorado.com to join the March for Life this Saturday at noon on the west steps of the Capitol. There you'll be encouraged and inspired to action by Mike Adams, speaker and columnist for townhall.com. You'll also be given the opportunity to participate in launching round 3 of Colorado's own 2012 Personhood Amendment. Please support personhood, the beginning of the end of child killing. Join the March for Life this Saturday. To find out more, visit personhoodcolorado.com.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to another episode of Real Science Friday. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer.
What an important episode. Fred, this is our annual list of not-so-old things.
Yeah, this list is getting pretty big. In fact, every year we do this, you know, I've got more and more pages here.
Yeah, and so we will review our most common arguments that the Earth is young, and then we'll go to some of the classics.
Yeah, the classics. That sounds great.
So to review, and we've talked about this recently, the soft tissue dinosaurs.
Yeah, that's a great one to use. Evangelical tools. How many people know that we've found soft tissue in T-Rex bones that are supposed to be millions,
T-Rex.
65 million years old?
And biologist, evolutionist P.Z. Myers, who took some pot shots at you and me recently, he, on his website, even recently said, that's not soft tissue from a dinosaur, original biological tissue. That's
contamination.
Contamination.
But wait,
biofilm from bacteria.
Yep. We've got 10 major universities that disagree with P.Z. Myers. Are those creation universities?
No, they're not. They're Harvard Medical School, University of Manchester, University of Pennsylvania, North Carolina State, and 10 universities just recently published. And Fred, all the examples we're going to give of soft tissue from dinosaurs, these are all published in refereed scientific journals all over the world, Science, Nature, Proceedings of the Academy of Sciences, the whole boatload of it. And the 65-million-year-old T-Rex turns out to have soft tissue that is original biological material. And if you go to realsciencefriday.com and click on our list, just the list of not-so-old things, you will see photographs that they look like they come from a butcher shop, but this is actually tissue from a T-Rex.
And there's no way this can be millions of years old. There's no way.
No way. In fact, studies done on Egyptian mummies indicated that protein molecules would deteriorate. They would decompose within 10,000 years. So we have an expectation. So Fred, first came the T-Rex. It's supposed to be 65 million years old. And lo and behold, we've got soft tissue. And that's why creationists are beginning to refer to dinosaurs as missionary lizards.
That's right. And we've got more. We got the mosasaur, the hadrosaur. You know, we keep finding more and more soft tissue in dinosaur bones.
That's right. The mosasaur is supposed to be 70 million years old. The hadrosaur was supposed to be 80 million years old, and Harvard University has now sequenced some of the amino acids from the hadrosaur. So now that Pandora's box is open, now that it's no longer taboo for secular scientists to publish what creationist scientists have been saying for some time, that we have proteins from dinosaurs, Fred, the floodgates are open.
They're open. And, you know, we've always had really good evidence that dinosaurs and man were contemporary, that they lived together. Mm. You know, all the legends of past of dragons. Dragons are just dinosaurs in the past. Mm. We've had all kinds of evidence, but this one's a really nice nail in the coffin for dinosaurs and man being contemporary.
Really strong. In fact, the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences have come out with an article that Archaeopteryx, Now, this is
another
to be,
favorite evolutionist icon.
Yes.
Their favorite transitional from a dinosaur to a bird, right?
Right, exactly. They now say that, lo and behold, they have various types of original biological material, different kinds of tissue from their feathers and bones, etc., that supposedly survive for 150 million years.
150 million years, twice as long as these T-Rexes.
It's completely implausible, but what are they going to say? They can't admit, and creationists have been looking for things like this, and creationist scientists have been saying, hey, we found collagen protein, look at it, but the whole secular world ignored us because they'd mock and say, well, that couldn't survive for millions of years, but lo and behold, now the evidence, it's just a mountain of evidence that these dinosaurs have not fully decomposed, and we find them in sandstone in all kinds of different deposits around the world.
Yeah, so the evidence is really strong, it's mounting, but Bob, do you think they're teaching this in the public schools or even in colleges?
Most people do not know that we're finding, this should be the find of the decade of the century.
Absolutely.
Right now,
this
should be the number one most significant scientific discovery is dinosaur original biological material.
This should be all over the nighttime news. It's nowhere to be seen.
Regularly updated, but it is not. Okay, Fred, now we go from dinosaurs to Scablands. A Nova TV special recently said, you know, the Scablands up in the northwest U.S., massive part of the crust of the earth that just looks like it comes from another planet. And it turns out it's not formed over millions of years, but rapidly from catastrophic regional flooding.
Yeah, it was from a breached dam, right?
Exactly. And Fred, this is similar to the Heart Mountain detachment. You remember that story?
Yeah. It took, what, millions of years for that to detach?
Well, this massive mountain near Yellowstone broke into 50 pieces. This mountain covered 425 square miles, and it broke up, what, over millions of years?
Actually, it turns out 30 minutes. 30 minutes to slide over an area of about 1,300 square miles.
And so this is according to LiveScience.com and other secular sources. So, Fred, things that we were told would take millions of years, we're finding out case after case after case happen rapidly, sometimes in years, months, weeks, days, or even minutes.
Yeah, they called it a land speed record. They said it went 62 miles in 30 minutes.
Wow.
That's what, 124 miles per hour.
Right, exactly. And then we've got the 150 million year old squid ink. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. So it wasn't decomposed, was it?
It was not.
We
it
can
was
actually produce the ink from that material.
Right. That's right. It was dehydrated, but not chemically decomposed. So this is, and that's reported by the Royal Geological Society in England. By the way, if people want links to original refereed scientific journals or to mainstream news reports, just go to realsciencefriday.com, click on our list of not so old things, and you'll find plenty of links to all these stories. How about the jellyfish that were fossilized in multiple layers?
Oh, that's one of my favorite. Different layers of strata, we've got jellyfish fossilized. So did these jellyfish do their family reunion every several million years?
Right.
So that they could be fossilized with their ancestors.
Right. Seven layers of rock that supposedly were laid down over a period of a million years. But, Fred, it turns out there's a school of jellyfish, so that these jellyfish were all killed at about the same time in the same event. And those seven layers that were supposed to be deposited over hundreds of thousands of years, they were deposited rapidly as per the jellyfish.
And jellyfish, they're really hard, so they should really fossilize easy, right?
They don't have any bones.
Yeah,
no,
they don't
skeletons.
Have any bones. So the fact that we see them in the fossil record is
astounding.
It has to be something that happened very rapidly.
That's right. Okay, and then I think we ended last week's program with the mention of the Yellowstone petrified trees, where we're told that in 20 strata, forest had grown up, got wiped out, and it left one or two trees that were petrified. And that happened like 20 times over on one hillside in Yellowstone, which is an implausible scenario.
Yeah, and they had a sign there that they took down, and I think you might have been, even been part of that because of a friend you knew that was a ranger, right, in Hawaii that contacted the guy in Yellowstone like, hey, this thing is wrong.
Right, it's wrong. And
to their credit,
out,
they took the sign down, right?
They took the sign down because the petrified trees in Yellowstone have no root systems. So it was known that these trees were knocked over in some kind of a catastrophe, and then they floated and they sunk in place, just like has been happening at Mount St. Helens.
Yeah, we observed it happening at Mount St. Helens.
We did. So when they say that right here in this one area, we have evidence of 20 forests sequentially growing and getting wiped out, so it's got to be millions of years. It turns out not true. All those trees were deposited in some kind of a catastrophic event where they were first knocked down, like in a volcanic blast, and then they were floating, and then they sunk root side first.
Yeah, so I think they so badly want the earth to be old that they concoct these ideas without really spending a lot of time looking at the evidence and coming up with a more plausible explanation.
Yes. Next item, honeybees. Fred, in Europe and in Asia, they got honeybees, and they claim that they separated 7 million years ago. That's according to the standard model of Darwinism and bees.
Well, this one's really interesting, Bob. Think about the old King James, the original 1611 version. Have you ever read one of those?
Very hard to read.
That's only after 400 years. Can you imagine 7 million years?
So these bees, they've been separated, they claim, the evolutionists, it's not true, but they say they've been separated for 7 million years, so a researcher got a great idea, let's get some Asiatic honeybees and European honeybees and put them together, and lo and behold, they were able to communicate.
They were able to communicate.
Right, which is powerful evidence of a different sort that they have not been around for millions of years. Evolving separately.
Yeah, they wouldn't have been able to communicate if they were separated for that long.
Right, of
course
not.
Obviously, they weren't.
And by the way, that's in the Plus One, the Public Library of Science from 2008. And there are links to these things on our website at realsciencefriday.com.
So those kind of assumptions, they can make a prediction. Okay, we believe they're 7 million years apart. They make this prediction that they won't be able to communicate, and they do. This happens all the time. Their predictions are falsified.
And the young Earth creationist predictions turn out, not all the time, but overwhelmingly more reliable when you look at the predictions of young Earth creationists as compared to Darwinists. Carlsbad Cavern, Fred, my family went there in 2005 on our family vacation. They used to have a sign there, right, from the National Park Service that said the cavern was formed a long time ago.
260 million years ago.
That's right. And creationists, of course, know that that's not true. Well, that sign was taken down, and they replaced it with a sign that they're trying to get more accurate.
Yeah. Wasn't that sign 8 million years?
8 million years. Then they took that sign down, and they replaced it with one that said that it was 2 million years old. And, Fred, finally, they took that sign down, and there is no sign.
There is no sign.
There's no sign, but there is an audio tour that we heard on location. We're listening to it, and it says this. And tell me if you think this sounds true. It says, the rate of formation of Carlsbad Cavern depends on the amount of available water.
Wow. Okay.
That sounds really good.
Yeah.
That sounds accurate.
It does. It does sound accurate. Now, Bob, if we ever have a museum in the future, you know, maybe when we're living in the thousand-year reign and the truth is out there, do you think there'll be historical museums? They'll show the ape-man progression and how dumb that was. If we had those signs, it'd be great. We could put that in the museum,
the
too.
The signs, yeah. How,
the other direction, 8 million, 2 million.
That would be great. In fact, at realsciencefriday.com, we have a link to the National Park Service website, and you could listen yourself to the audio tour, and you'll hear that they no longer say that this cave is 260 million years old or 2 million years old. They say the rate of formation depends on the amount of available water, and there was a lot of water back then.
So we're making progress. We still have a ways to go because
I
heard a tour in South Dakota in a cave, and they were saying this life form in here, it's coral, and it's millions of years old. So
right.
Hey, buddy, would you like to carbon 14 date that? We'll get to that later.
Yeah, we will. And stalactites and stalagmites, we know that they form rapidly around the world. We have modern historic evidence of that, So little by little, Fred, the truth gets across, like in Papua New Guinea.
Yeah, turns out gold can form pretty quickly.
Gold can form quickly. In the Lahir gold deposit in New Guinea, they have more than 20 million ounces of gold. And the typical, of course, geologic explanation was that that reserve took millions of years to deposit.
And now the secular scientists are saying that it could have formed in thousands, if not even hundreds of years, right?
Yeah, that's right. They're saying, you know what? As we look at this, there's strong evidence that this Lahir gold deposit formed only in thousands of years, or you know what, maybe way more quickly than that. And this goes on and on. Like in Idaho, back in the U.S., Box Canyon, Idaho, Fred, it turns out it wasn't formed over millions of years, but what?
35 days.
35 days, they think. That's startling, and they have evidence. They say, for example, and this evidence was always there, but finally, in the journal Science, more recently, the geologists, it's like they're being allowed to publish some of these things. There are water scour marks on the basalt plateau leading to the canyon. There's an eroded notch on the plateau at the top of the canyon. All of the large basalt boulders, virtually all, Fred, have been removed from the canyon. That's evidence of very fast-moving water, and they've got huge plunge pools formed by waterfalls. And they say, look, when you put all of this together, it turns out that Box Canyon was formed by a very large, a catastrophic regional flood, and it happened just within weeks, not millions of years.
What about manganese nodules?
Oh, I love that one.
That's a good one.
Because there was a documentary produced by World Almanac, and I've got this at home. There are photos of it on our list of not-so-old things. And, Fred, they said that manganese nodules form very slowly, one of the slowest forming features on the crust of the Earth, that they take tens of thousands of years, if not hundreds of thousands, to form each one of these, and there are millions on the ocean floor.
So I'm wondering if these cavemen on the Geico commercials, were they drinking Coors beer? I have a reason to ask that, right?
Well, yeah. Why would the cavemen be drinking beer?
Well, because apparently they've found these nodules around beer cans.
That's right.
You know, Budweiser and Coors.
Yeah.
And
this is according to marine geologist Dr. John Yates. And some of our atheist critics, Fred, said that there's no such geologist as Dr. John Yates. We've linked to him. He's recently authored a chapter in a technical textbook.
He's due to contamination in biofilm?
He's a real marine geologist. And he says in this documentary, he says, you know what? We have found manganese nodules growing around beer cans, geologically growing. So they're not, they don't have to be millions of years old. Also, we found them forming on old World War II ships. So what this proves, Fred, of course, theoretically, they could have formed rapidly a million years ago. Of course, we recognize that part of the argument. But what we're saying is that when they used the formation of these nodules as evidence of long age, that's not true.
It's not, because we see examples where it can happen rapidly.
They form rapidly. So they have to remove that argument, just like that the petrified trees that they grew in place over a period of a million years, they have to remove those arguments from their arsenal because scientific inquiry is showing that those arguments were not valid.
Yeah, and we can have this beer can in our future museum.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how about Adam and Eve?
Adam and Eve. I love this one. Mitochondrial Eve.
Mitochondrial Eve.
I think they said she was, what, a couple hundred thousand years old.
That's
based
what,
on measuring the rates of the mitochondrial, looking at the DNA, right?
Yeah, so human beings and species of plants and animals of all kinds have DNA. And there's a certain kind of DNA that's not in the nucleus. It's like the powerhouse.
Yeah, the
of
power
the cell.
Plant of the cell the and mitochondria. The mitochondria. So it's called mitochondrial DNA.
Right. And they look at how different it is among different human beings living around the world, because it's sort of an easier project because it's not as long as the DNA molecule. So they look at it and they say, you know, It's shockingly similar. The mitochondrial DNA from people around the world is awfully similar. So the Darwinists don't like the thought that the first woman that we've all evolved from lived recently. So even though our DNA is so similar, they said, well, let's throw in chimpanzee DNA into the calculation to see how long ago Eve would have lived. And they came up with, like you said, a couple hundred thousand years. Yeah.
And when they don't use chimpanzee DNA, mitochondrial DNA, which, by the way, is inherited from your mother. So
Right. That's
why they call it mitochondrial Eve.
Eve and not Adam.
So how old is mitochondrial Eve if we throw out the chimpanzee?
According to the journal Science, in an article by Ann Gibbons, calibrating the mitochondrial clock, they said if they use only actual measured mutation rates of human beings in this peer-reviewed journal, they said that mitochondrial Eve would be a mere 6,000 years old.
That's what Dr. Ann Gibbons said. Is that Ann chimpanzee, Ann baboon?
Ann Gibbons, her last name, which is sort of funny.
Yeah.
And so, Fred, it turns out that not only is mitochondrial Eve recent, just thousands of years ago, but Y chromosomal Adam, the male Y chromosome, has really startled the genetic world. Because there are 3 billion men, more than 3.5 billion men, and our Y chromosomes are wildly similar. There's not enough time for mutations to produce the current amount of diversity in only 5,000 years. We'd produce it in just a few thousand years.
Yeah. I remember they looked at a section of the Y chromosome. And you'd expect there to be some mutations there because it wasn't coding for DNA.
Right.
And so they predicted to find a certain number of mutations if Y chromosome Adam is several hundred thousand years old. They expected to find 15. Do you remember how many they actually found?
Fewer.
Zero.
Zero. It was
zero.
Zero.
They found none in this section where they expected to find at least 15.
And then when they compared humans' Y chromosome to the chimp Y chromosome, where they lied for years saying it's 99% the same, whatever, they found that they're 30% different. They called it a horrific difference. It was horribly different because this is strong evidence that God created chimps as a separate species, and he created us, Homo sapiens, and there's tremendous similarity in our mitochondrial DNA and in our Y chromosomes, and tremendous difference compared to chimps.
Yeah, so again, when you look at this and assume an evolutionary worldview or a creation worldview, which one fits the evidence? If we make a prediction beforehand, we're not surprised that the Y chromosome hasn't shown changes that would suggest 200,000 years.
Right.
The evolutionists make an assumption, and they're constantly
proven
wrong, constantly.
All right. So, Fred, could we jump out into space?
How about take a spiral journey out into space?
That's right.
Talk about spiral galaxies.
Yeah.
I remember you talked about this in your debate with the Old Earth Group here in Denver. So the argument is why do these galaxies have spiral arms? Because we know from Newton's laws that over time, they kind of wind up like a clock screw, right? Because of the rate of rotation of the stars. And over millions of years, these galaxies should be featureless disks, yet they're not. No matter how far out you look, you see spiral arms. And I remember in that debate, you used that as an argument, and their reply to that was they didn't even have a story. They ignored it, and they went to the next point. That's one of the things I remember from your debate.
Yeah, it's very difficult for the Standard Model Big Bang to explain why spiral galaxies have their current shape. They should be featureless blobs, the galaxies, but such a significant percentage are beautiful spiral galaxies. So, of course, they have to posit, for example, that the universe is mostly dark matter, dark energy, like the vast majority is something we can't see. And that's because the galaxies shouldn't be there if, in fact, God created the universe in the recent past.
That's right. And what about exploding stars?
Oh, that's a big one. A supernova exploded, and it was seen on Earth in the year 1054 AD. That was one example, and it was a long time ago. But after the star explodes, you get a supernova remnant, right?
Yeah, and so this thing expands over time, and they've broken it into stages. So stage one, a first stage supernova remnant, is a fairly young supernova remnant.
Mm-hmm.
Stage two, it's had much more time to expand, and then stage three would be a huge expanse.
Mm-hmm.
And so evolutionists have an expectation of
how many we should see if stage one, stage two, and stage three, yeah. if the Milky Way galaxy is billions of years old.
Yeah, so if it's billions of years old, we'd expect to see two of the early stage, you know, first stage.
Two of them.
We'd expect to see two if the universe is, say, 7,000 years or younger. So how many did we actually observe?
Just a few.
Yeah, five.
Five.
So that
so
kind
that's
of fits
within
both.
An order of magnitude,
yeah.
right.
So, but now when we get to the second stage where there's a greater expansion of the supernova remnant, if the universe is billions of years old, we'd expect to see 2,260.
All right.
If we're under 7,000 years old, we'd expect to see 125. So how many did we actually observe?
We have counted so far stage two SNRs a couple hundred.
Couple hundred. So which number is closer, Bob? Help me with my math. Is 200 closer to 125 or is it closer to 2260?
Has the evidence.
Yes.
How about stage three supernovas?
Stage three, if the universe is billions of years old, we should see 5,000 of those.
Whoa.
If we're under 7,000 years old, as the Bible would have us believe,
right.
it'd be zero.
Zero.
So how many do we actually observe?
Stage three supernovas?
Yes.
Somewhere around zero.
Zero. That's what we observe.
Yeah.
So, Bob, again, help me with my math.
Yeah.
Which is closer? Zero closer to zero or 5,000?
Let me get my abacus out.
Yeah.
I need an abacus.
Who's closer to the truth here?
Again,
another example of what we expect to see is what we observe. There's no way the universe can be billions of years old.
Yeah, there's another good one, the shadow of the Big Bang, Fred. They have thought that from behind nearby galaxies, they should be able to detect a shadow of the Big Bang. It turns out that that study, that analysis, has failed to uphold their standard model as they had guessed. Galaxy clusters where there's not enough time in 15 billion years for the galaxies to form walls and spheres like they do. That's another powerful evidence against the Big Bang explanation, whereas the Bible says God stretched out the heavens. And so it's not surprising that we see the kinds of structures made out of galaxies.
Yeah,
that
designs
we
in space. It's structured. It's not some random mishmash of things all over the place.
Yeah, really fun stuff. So, Fred, why don't we do another show? We'll do this in parts with the list of not-so-old things from Real Science Friday.
Well, this list is getting so long, it's hard to do it in one show.
Yeah, it sure is. So we'll do it here. We'll continue next week, Lord willing. And thank you very much, Fred. And our website, realsciencefriday.com, you could click on our store, and we have a science department that'll blow your socks off. A lot of fun DVDs, some that we produce, some that are produced by third parties. The third-party DVDs are stunning. We have debates on the age of the earth and Walt Brown's book In the Beginning. So many great resources. Plus, Fred, we have our Real Science Friday shows on MP3 CDs. People could get a whole year on a single CD and listen to it while they're driving. Hey, God bless you, Fred Williams. And tune in next week. God bless you.
Did you know that every year in Colorado, enough children are killed through abortion to fill the Pepsi Center? And that last year alone, Planned Parenthood, the world's largest abortion provider, received $500 million of your tax dollars. Now, Planned Parenthood has hired a powerful law firm to take away your right to protect life. It's time to say enough. Visit personhoodcolorado.com to join the March for Life this Saturday at noon on the west steps of the Capitol. There you'll be encouraged and inspired to action by Mike Adams, speaker and columnist for townhall.com. You'll also be given the opportunity to participate in launching Round 3 of Colorado's own 2012 Personhood Amendment. Please support Personhood, the beginning of the end of child killing. Join the March for Life this Saturday. To find out more, visit personhoodcolorado.com.